You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
The Child Poverty Action Group has said that the government should be warmly congratulated for the reframing of the budget to reflect human well-being outcomes. However, they do not feel the budget was truly transformational. I spoke to Child Poverty Action Group economic spokesperson Susan St. John about where the budget was lacking and began by asking if she thinks the budget has done enough for children in poverty.
No, it set out a very good framework. We're pleased with a number of aspects of the budget. Obviously, more spending on mental well-being is going to help. But in terms of actually delivering extra dollars into the pockets of households that are struggling, we don't see that in this budget.
The government's plan is to index benefits to average wage inflation. Do you think this is an effective method for alleviating poverty?
I think it's a very, very important policy, and we're very pleased to see it. But it's something that is not going to deliver any extra money in the short run. Over time, you'll see that benefits don't continue to fall so far behind other indexed provisions such as New Zealand superannuation. But the gap between New Zealand superannuation and benefits will remain as large as it is now. They'll just move in parallel. So it's a good policy, and it's one that will have all sorts of implications for other policy as well, such as working families. The argument will be if you're going to index benefits this way, then there's a very good case for indexing child tax credit to wages as well. So that will be an argument for another day, but it's a move in that right direction.
So you feel that what's been done is will pay off well in the long run, but there's not being enough done now within, let's say, the span of a year to actually help these people in need?
No, and presumably there is going to be a welfare package. Maybe that will be announced next year. The problem is that the government then will be going into an election with those policies, whereas it probably would have been better if they were bedded in and it wasn't an election issue.
Why do you think that nothing immediate was done and released in this budget, especially since it's meant to be all about well-being? Do you think that this is actually reflecting well-being outcomes?
I think there's a couple of things. I think that the government's put a lot of faith in its families package. That was the big amount of extra spending for families with children that came in July last year. And certainly that was a welcome catch-up because things have fallen so far behind. So that was welcome. But the problem there is that some of the really poorest families, where you find 175,000 of the worst off children, got fairly little out of that package. So the government's actually been relying on that to improve the child poverty figures, and it may well have some impact on those child poverty figures, and they've modelled that. But the problem is that the really worst off families are not going to be lifted nearly enough by simply the families package. So we've been encouraging government, and of course we've had the welfare report that came out and suggested we needed to spend another $5.2 billion a year immediately fix up the benefit system and working for families, so that clearly the government has some obligation to tell us what its plans are.
Have you been in much conversation with the government during this process, coming up to the wellbeing budget, talking about how the family package has actually failed to provide for those who are most vulnerable, and what's the response been like?
Well, yes, we've produced a number of research papers that have shown quite clearly that the children who are falling under the lowest poverty line, 40% after housing cost poverty line, get very little out of the families package. So it's all been done, and we've had lots of interaction with government policy people and politicians on these issues. But what also has happened in the last year is that we've had a welfare working group set up, and they were supposed to be looking at all of the ways in which the welfare state could be reformed. That came out just prior to the budget and was somewhat buried. So it has been a bit unfortunate because a lot of hopes were pinned on this budget, whereas the government has been saying, well, we were waiting for this report. It only came out just before the budget. And so hold on, there'll be more to come.
So what do you see the next steps being? What would you like to be seeing done within the next 6 months, let's say?
We would like to see some sort of emergency response, because the welfare sector, the budgeting services, the food banks, the charities are all telling us that they've never seen such demand for their services or such a degree of distress. So that might indicate that we can't have policies that take effect from 2020 or 2021. We need something that comes in immediately. So maybe some kind of remedial budget in the next few months, maybe a Christmas package might be a good idea.
Do you have any last comments you'd like to make just regarding the wellbeing budget and its implications for children in poverty?
What they're doing in terms of the indexation and the raising of the threshold for people who earn extra when they're on benefits and the removal of the sanction, the three things that they have there, they've been a bit oversold. None of them come in until 2020 and none of them are desperately significant. The sanctions one should have been done a long time ago, removing that injustice. The indexation one is not going to give any extra money immediately and only has a long-term implication. And the third one, raising the threshold, they've done it in such a minimal way that it will make very, very little difference.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.